Jacob's World Podcast. Hey there. So glad you're checking us out this week as we talk about an amazing church, the Church of Antioch, the first Gentile church, the church that changed the world all the way up to our church today. Can't wait to discover this amazing church. Hey, church, way to go. You are here. You're engaged. You are part of the worship of Jacob's World this weekend. And that is just so good. That is so smart. Hey, let me just tell you a couple things I think you already know. You need the church, and the church needs you. And right now, in spite of the fact that it's kind of difficult to stay connected, it is worth the effort to stay connected to God, to your church, to friends and family, to brothers and sisters in Christ. In fact, in this day where it seems like everything is shifting, everything is changing, we can lose track. We can lose track of where we're at, how we're doing. I don't know about you, but I've been losing track of what day of the week it is. And that's why it makes it so important for you to be part of what the church is doing, for you to make the effort, even as it's online, and sometimes that's hard to do, and sometimes that's easy to just quit doing. It's just important for us together to stay engaged. So way to go. If you're listening to me, you're doing it, and we just want to celebrate that. I'm excited about the passage of Scripture we're looking at this weekend because it's about an amazing church that adapts and overcomes, an amazing church that up until this point in the history of God's people is unlike any church that had ever existed. And this church, because of what it does, because of how it adapts and overcomes, about how it responds in times of uncertainty, this church changed the world during its time. In fact, the changes that came from this church passed down through time from one church to one church to one generation, from one country to another country, all the way to Jacob's Well Church right here in the Chippewa Valley. The church we're talking about is the Church of Antioch. You know, one of the very first sermons I ever gave as a teenager, actually, years ago, over 30 years ago, was about this church. I remember distinctly as a young Christian, as a young man, as a young aspiring pastor, reading about this church, and it fired my imagination. It captured my imagination. I still remember that message like it was yesterday, because this is the kind of church that I dream of our churches today being like. And it's important that the church is strong. It's important that the church is engaged and that the church has a passion to worship God, engage people, and draw people to help people take steps to know and become like Christ. Let me just take a minute to just say this has been a demanding week. This has been a demanding season. We have a lot of news going on, right? We have an increase in COVID cases in our area. And so we as a church have made some changes. So some of the changes we've made is that for a season into January, we are postponing, we're putting on pause in-person, on-site, children and youth gathering activities, both on Sunday and throughout the week. Now, we've got some plans for some outdoor activities, some family activities, and if you haven't taken the time to listen to the video I sent out earlier in the week, please take some time to do that, whether you find it on social media or through the Jacob's Well email that we send out every week or on the webpage. And by the way, if you haven't been getting those emails, check your spam folder. Reach out to us. You want to stay connected. There are so many amazing things that are going to be happening, especially over the Christmas season. It is worth the effort for you to stay connected. So we've made some changes this week, and so we're redirecting. We're figuring out ways to make our church connection powerful and good, and it's worth the effort. I do want to take a minute to just say to so many people who are going through difficult times right now, your church is here. We love you, we are praying for you, and we're here to help. Reach out. If you're going through a difficult time emotionally or mentally or spiritually, our care team, our pastors, would be happy to come alongside you and help in all the ways we can. We want to let you know that if you're in the medical profession, if you're working at our hospitals, our senior facilities, we just cannot imagine what you're experiencing, what you're going through, the sacrifices that you're making. We just want to say to the teachers who now are having to shift gears again in different school districts, we just want to say, God bless you. We love you. Thank you for leaning in. You're being asked to do things that just aren't reasonable, but you're serving our community. You're serving our kids. We just want to say thank you. We want to say thank you to our police force, to our first responders, to all those people who are on the front lines. I want to say thank you to our business leaders, those people who are having to make decisions for their businesses that affect their employees and their families, and you're doing it in the spirit of the kingdom of God and in service. It's a difficult time to lead, and many people are facing challenges. I just want to let you know that we love you, we're here for you, and we're striving to make your church a place where it's easy to stay connected, and it's worth the effort for you to stay connected. Now, let's go ahead and take a look at this passage of scripture about this incredible church, the church at Antioch. Now, look what it says. It says in verse 19. It says, "Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word of God to no one except Jews." Now, this is, again, what you need to understand. We are on the back end of the turning point in the book of Acts. Because this is what you need to understand about the book of Acts is up till this time, the church of Jesus Christ has been a church centered around Jerusalem that is all primarily peopled with people who are Jewish, who were born Jewish, the majority of them from Judea and Jerusalem, a few Jews from other parts of the world, and a few people who were non-Jews who are called Gentiles, a few non-Jews who converted to Judaism. This is what the church is. It's a Jewish church. But in the middle of the book of Acts, there's a turning point that fulfills the prophecy of Jesus when he said, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem." We saw that, Jewish church. Judea, again, Jewish church. Samaria, wow, that was huge. The Samaritans get included, but they're half Jews, so that kind of made sense. And then to the utter ends of the earth. This is where it starts getting to the ends of the earth. This is when the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people, are included. And we saw it start 2 weeks ago when we were introduced to this guy by the name of Saul, who becomes Paul, who is going to be the apostle or the one sent to the Gentiles. In the middle part of the book of Acts, which we're going to study after the first of the year, is all about his journeys to bring the gospel to Gentile cities. And we're going to see the birth of some amazing churches in Philippi and Colossae and Ephesus and Rome. We're going to see some amazing movements of God that start there that pass all the way down to us. This comes through the Apostle Paul, Paul and Barnabas, missionary journeys. Very exciting. Then we also saw the second part of the turning point was the vision last week that Peter had, where he saw the vision come down from heaven where there are all kinds of unclean animals and he was told to take and eat, and he thought it was about food, but it wasn't about food. It was about God's desire to include the Gentiles. And if you haven't had time to listen to that, I really want to encourage you to go back and to listen to that message. It's actually one of the more important messages to understand where we are as a church in a long time. But that message particularly talks about God's desire to include the Gentiles. And he had to get a hold of Peter's heart and the heart of the church so that the church was ready for what we're looking at today, the birth of the church at Antioch. So what has happened is that persecution came, the people were scattered, goes all the way back to the story of Stephen we studied several weeks ago, and they traveled all over the place just looking for a place to land. But every place they went, as they were going, they shared about Jesus. And they shared really to no one except the people they were comfortable with, the people part of their community, the people who were Jews. And then you have this most amazing sentence that you don't realize it's amazing until you see it's amazing, and then it becomes amazing. All right, take a look at this. "But there were some of them." Thank God for these some of them. You know what? Be some of them. Be the ones who see past the barriers, past the biases, past the prejudice, and see the person who needs the love of God. "Some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to Hellenists or Greeks or Gentiles." The people who were not supposed to be included. The Hellenists also preaching to them the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there were some of these Jews who finally, maybe it's because they heard Peter talk about Cornelius, who we studied last week. Maybe it was because the Holy Spirit revealed it to them. Maybe it's because they maybe grew up in a Greek city and they were more comfortable with Gentiles and Greeks. But for some reason, they were prompted to speak the message, not just to Jews, but to Gentiles, most of whom who are listening to my message, we're Gentiles. We're not hereditary Jews. This is when the gospel turns towards us, and it comes through this amazing church. You should be so grateful for the Church of Antioch. We are here because of the Church of Antioch and the movement of God that flowed through that amazing church. Look what it says. And the hand of the Lord was with them. This is what God's doing. This is his way. This is his plan. This is the thing that we saw last week. Peter said he would never want to get in the way of what God was doing. This is what God is doing. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed and turned to the Lord. And what you have is the birth of a church, the birth of the first Gentile church, the first church that's from a Greek place, from a non-Jewish place, and is made up primarily of people who were not Jewish. So what ends up happening? Look at this. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. So the leadership, the center, is still in Jerusalem. They hear, holy cow, we heard about this Cornelius guy. Again, the guy we learned about in last week's message. He was a God-fearer, and he came to know God. And we heard that the Holy Spirit came on the Gentiles. Now we hear the report that there's a whole church that's Gentile. In fact, it's primarily Gentile. In fact, what the heck is God doing? How is this working? So they came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. Do you remember Barnabas? This is like the third or fourth time he shows up in Acts. Barnabas, whose name was Joseph, whose now his name is Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. They sent the encourager. They sent the one whose heart is open. The one who, when the apostle Paul, who was Saul, who had been persecuting the church, when he came back to Jerusalem and nobody trusted him, who was the person who took the risk and included Paul? Well, it was Barnabas. And so you see now, God is teeing it up because the first missionary journey is going to be Paul and Barnabas. They're going to go to the Gentiles themselves when the Spirit sends them out. But what you see here is you see the church being sent a word of encouragement from Barnabas. Look what it says. It's beautiful. When he came and he saw the grace of God, he was glad. So when he saw God was showing mercy, grace, forgiveness, he wasn't resentful. He wasn't nervous. He didn't get like Jonah, who resented that God wanted to forgive the Ninevites. Instead, he became like Jesus, who was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. So notice what he said. He said, stay faithful to Jesus. Notice he didn't say to them, become Jewish. He didn't say, get circumcised or eat kosher or follow a bunch of rules or get this all cleaned up. He says, stay faithful to the Lord, and the Lord will show you the things that you're supposed to do. And this church just becomes a dynamic, spirit-filled powerhouse. For he was a good man. What does it say about Barnabas? A good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. And so God's doing something special. This church starts becoming a powerhouse, and the center of the church starts spreading out, because God's not looking for a big centralized church in one place. He's looking for the Church of Jesus Christ to be scattered throughout communities, doing good, serving good, just powerful, powerful stuff. Look what happens. It said, so Barnabas recognized the church is growing. He needs help. Look what he does. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. Now, you remember who Saul was? Saul was the persecutor of the church, riding his horse, gets knocked off, finds Jesus, becomes now an advocate and a leader in the church. He's now spent 2 years in Arabia learning about what the Old Testament said about the fulfillment of Jesus and the inclusion of the Gentiles. He knew that Paul was sympathetic to the Gentiles, and so he went and got an assistant pastor by the name of Saul, who will become Paul. It says, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch for a whole year, for a whole year. Now, again, this is Paul and Barnabas, we talked about this last week, who are Jewish guys who would have grown up just being around Jewish guys, just eating Jewish food, just living in Jewish culture, totally invested and alienated and isolated from everything else. Now they've spent a whole year meeting with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, look what happens. The disciples were first called Christians. This is where the church starts getting defined. This is where the church starts becoming powerful. This is when the church that is the church even today starts becoming known by the name of Jesus. So what's this word Christian? Well, literally the word in the Greek means little Christs. So in Antioch, they were called like little Christ or Christ Junior, because what was going on? What was going on is that all they talked about was Christ. They talked about, well, you know, people would be coming and talking to some of these Gentiles who became part of this church and said, what's that thing you're going to? Well, it's a group of people who follow Christ. Christ, what's Christ? And they talk about Christ. And people say, well, why don't you do this thing you used to do? We used to go to the temples and engage in sexual immorality. Why don't you do that anymore? Well, because now I follow Christ. And I'm teaching my kids to follow Christ. And finally, it just reached the point where people said, Christ, Christ, Christ. All you people do is talk about Christ. You're just like Christians. You're mini Christ. You're junior Christ. And this name of derision became something Christians said, yeah, that's right. That's what we are. We're seeking to be little Christ. We're seeking to be like him. We're trying to help other people discover him. Our life is all about Christ. Christ is not something I added to my life on the side. Christ is not someone who simply gave me life. Christ is my life. He is the one I'm obsessed with, I'm focused on. This is the place where we're so real that that's where that name was given. What an amazing, amazing church. Look what happens. So the disciples determined that everyone according to his ability send relief. Now, I missed something here. Let me tell you what happened. So what ends up happening is this church is prospering, and there's a verse we haven't got time to look at where basically a prophet comes from down from Jerusalem and says, hey, some bad stuff is going to happen. There's going to be a famine. There's going to be a plague. It's going to be really hard. It's going to be particularly bad in Judea. And sure enough, they said during the time of the Emperor Claudius, this thing happened, and this is what happened. So the disciples of the church of Antioch, the church that was Gentile, the church that many of the Jews wouldn't want to have included, they determined everyone according to his ability to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And so now they are going to send love back to where it all started. They're going to recognize that the church in Judea is under persecution. Their leaders are scattered. And now there's a famine and there's sickness and there's difficulty. They're probably being persecuted in such a way that they couldn't get jobs. They were isolated and alienated from their families. And so the church said, we are going to rise up. We are going to help out. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. So you can imagine this, just this coming back. The elders of the church in Jerusalem are just trying to say, what are we going to do? How are we going to, you know, meet these needs, and how are we going to hold up? And word just arrived that Barnabas and Saul are back, and they would like to see us. And they come in, and sure enough, Barnabas and Saul show up, and they lay down the gift from the church. Well, what is this? Well, this is from the church at Antioch. Well, what's it for? Well, it's for you. It's for the church, because you're brothers and sisters in Christ. We are one people. See, this is the essence of ethnos. We call this series ethnos, which means people group, because within that term is the heart of God, that God desires for himself a people made up of every tribe, every tongue, every nation to worship him. He is looking to include, not exclude. He is looking to remove as many barriers, as many biases and rules and assumptions that are man-made, that are religious, that we put between ourselves and others, and we put between God and others, that say you have to live up to all this stuff before you can be included. This had to blow the minds of the church in Jerusalem. They had to just take a step back and just say, wow, this is so like God, so surprising like God. So you see why I fall in love with this church. This is a church, spirit-led, great leaders, all about just, you know, meeting needs. God is at work. We're going to see, not next week, but actually after Christmas, we're going to see that this is the church where the Spirit comes and says, you know what, I'm going to start sending out missionaries. We're going to start in Antioch. And set aside for me Paul and Barnabas for the work I have for them. You know, this is the kind of church that we want to be. This is why we do the things we do. This is why we open the doors. This is why we have share partners. Now, there are all kinds of share partners we have, some who work locally, some who work regionally, and some who work internationally. There's a couple that we have been supporting as a church since the beginning of our church. They originally were part of the university here, and then God called them to go serve over in East Asia. And they have been there for, golly, almost 20 years now. And we have been supporting them all this time. They've been in a part of the world where we don't always talk about them as much because it's been an unsafe place. But here recently, they got caught up in all this COVID stuff where they had to get out of the country they were in, and our church was able to send some money to help get them home. And then they had to get settled here, and our church once again has been able to, through one fund, to be able to send them some resources to help them get settled. And we actually have a little thank you video from them, just tell a little bit of their story. And it's just a reminder that, man, we are all in this together. The Church of Jesus Christ is all in it together. Let's take a look.
Greetings, Jacob's Well. We are so thankful to be able to share with you today. Want to first off say thanks for the recent gift the church gave us to help us kind of readjust to the U.S. for the coming year. We and our four kids are very grateful.
As some of you already know, we were trapped outside of East Asia, where we normally live and do ministry. We were trapped out in Thailand due to COVID. The day we left our home in Asia is the day that COVID hit the news, and we were unable to return home due to canceled flights and eventually border closing. While we were trapped in Thailand, the U.S. State Department recalled all overseas citizens, U.S. citizens that were traveling in places where they did not have a residence permit. And we were in that category. Our residence permits were for East Asia, not for Thailand. And so we got swept up in that and had to return back here to the U.S. unplanned. So we returned here, and watching the news, you know, everyone thought that by spring, borders would open back up, maybe by midsummer at the latest. So we waited it out, moved housing places a few times because they were all, you know, temporary housing situations for our family. So we did that for a while until about mid-July, when it became more obvious that borders weren't going to open up anytime in the real near future, for all the COVID reasons that you guys already all know. So then during that time, we ended up being put in a position where we were forced to close up our apartment and our home in East Asia, which was incredibly hard, as you can imagine. So we gave away most of what we had to people that were still there and that are there now, and began to think about what will we do while we do wait for our new overseas housing and situation. So it's been a painful season of loss for all of us, not just the physical, tangible parts. As you can imagine, it's so much more than that. So many layers of our friends, the kids' friends, support networks, so many other things. What felt like home, we can't return to right now. And so, that's just been a really hard reality to this situation for us. But in the process of all that, we've seen the Lord really minister to our hearts, and kind of knit our family together in a really unique and special way as a result. So we're grateful, although we're also grieving. So
we're waiting here in the U.S., readjusting while we wait to return overseas. We do sense Him with us, but it's been a tough season to wrestle through. As we live in Minnesota, we're trying to partner with the church in East Asia from afar, doing our roles from here, and partner with those who are seeking to work there as well. An awesome thing about COVID and this displacement period is the Lord is still moving in East Asia. He's still moving amongst unreached peoples that are more open than before. And there's many people that are coupling technology, that are bridging time zones, they're working over closed borders effortlessly with this virtual ministry that is really become more and more a part of what we do. And so we do want to ask you to pray for the Church of East Asia. There is persecution that is happening. The church is facing more than before, missionaries more than before that have had to leave East Asia because of the persecution. Even now, one of our key co-workers, a national named Jack, is being held in prison while his wife is awaiting for his release. She's due to give birth to their third child, not knowing when her husband will be home next. Mm-hmm.
So the gospel continues to go forth in East Asia despite the persecution, or maybe because of it. So we will continue to do our ministry roles via long distance from Minnesota. And our family is, just trusting the Lord and leaning into Him and to each other more and more every day. We're praying for the Lord to make the next step forward clear to us. If you'd be willing to pray that for us too, we'd be so grateful for that. And also, if you would just pray for our kids, this has been very disorienting for them, having their life kind of stop so abruptly, but not just their life, like their support network and their relationships. So their friends are scattered all over the continental U.S. and in 4 different countries right now. So everyone's in a similar situation of displacement, but they're nowhere near each other, if that makes sense, in geographical locations. So if you could just pray for them as they walk through this, and pray for us as parents that we would parent with grace and with wisdom in helping them walk through this season of grief and loss and readjustment to the U.S. So, and also if you'd pray for Jack and his wife and his kids and for the authorities that are involved in his imprisonment as well, that would be really amazing. We'll keep you updated as soon as we know anything more about their situation. And we do look forward to reconnecting, hopefully sometime soon. We will for sure be here until the summer. We're going to give the kids a solid school year and just do our ministry roles from long distance, hoping and praying that borders will be open and the coast will be clear for us to return overseas in the spring and early summer.
Thanks so much for your prayers. God bless you.
Bye.
Yeah, so what an incredible privilege we have as a church to have been ministry partners with this couple and this family for almost a couple decades now, and now to be able to step in and to come alongside them as they're serving God and helping brothers and sisters in churches and parts of the world we don't even know about, and brothers and sisters who put their faith on the line even to worship God in the most powerful ways. I hope you appreciate what Josh and Tammy and their family have been through. They were actually away from the country they were serving in where they had invested their life. That really is where they think of as their home now, and their home and their belongings and all were there. They're out of the country in Thailand for a conference when it hit, and they couldn't get back into the country they're serving in, and so they had to come back here, which means they lost their house, all their belongings, all their possessions. That's why it's cool the church can come alongside them at this time. It's what makes One Fund and our partners so cool. It's awesome to be partnering with such remarkable, amazing people. We look forward to the time when restrictions are lightened up and they can come and visit us again. It's a powerful thing. You see, the challenge in this series is to be the church and to be the church in the most profound way. And I've just got a couple things I want to challenge you with, really in the spirit of kind of next steps and kind of wrapping up, that are just important for us to be inspired by the Church of Antioch, be inspired by Josh and Tammy, to be inspired by our brothers and sisters who are part of the persecuted church all over the world. These are just some things I just feel compelled to share with us this weekend. The first thing is I just want to encourage you to continue following the guidelines. If you're still one of those people who's not wearing a mask and not socially distancing and making light of this, we're way past that now, gang. We just need to follow the guidelines. We work super hard to keep it safe here at Jacob's Well. You know, that's why even if you're here in person, even if you have a medical exemption for masks, everybody's got to have a mask. If you have a medical exemption, we actually ask you to watch online just so everybody feels safe and everything is safe. All our events, we're just going to follow the guidelines. We want to encourage you to follow those guidelines too. Don't be taking unnecessary risks. Don't be getting in crowds. Don't take it lightly. Follow the guidelines. This is time for us as Christians, for love's sake, to do that. Stay connected. Stay connected to your church. Stay connected to your small groups. Some of you need to get your small groups going again, and some of you just rolled your eyes saying, just can't do the Zoom group. Listen to me now. Look at me, church. Everybody just listen to me now. If Zoom is what we got, it's what we got. Okay? This is a time not to isolate. This is the time to reach out, to text, to call, to set up that Zoom group, set up that meeting, and reconnect with your people. You need it. The people who are part of your community need it. Stay connected. It's crucially important. Let me encourage you to do church every week. So schedule a time with your family, maybe with a couple other people through Zoom or a Facebook Live event or whatever. Go to church, even if it's in your living room, and don't let it drift off. It can frame your life. It can shape your week. Be very easy to just say, I'll do it later, or I'll watch it tonight. Don't fall into that trap. Be engaged. It's important that you stay connected. You need it, and we need you. The other thing I just want to say to you is take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. There's just some things you can do that just be smart. Eat well. Get outside, get moving, come to the campus, walk the prayer trails. This summer, this winter, as part of what we're going to be doing, is we're working to put in an ice rink and sledding hills and trails and places for bonfires. You know, we're going to be adding some outdoor lighting. For the first time, we've never done outdoor lighting at Jacob's Well. We're just going to create an environment where you can come just take a drive in the evening with your family. Come take you got a place where you can take your family picture. We'd love for you to post that online. But take care of yourself. Get active. Get off the couch. Okay, get moving. The third thing I would just simply say is this. I would tell you to reach out to the vulnerable. Remember how early on we had a tendency to call and check in? It's time now again to call and to check in. If there's some people you know particularly vulnerable, maybe some elderly people, the elderly are particularly frightened and particularly isolated right now. Now is the time for you to just spontaneously, you say, who do I call? Well, listen to the Spirit. Just let God tell you. Don't wait for permission. Don't wait for anybody to organize you. Just reach out and touch, particularly those who are vulnerable. That's why we as a church are doing Giving Hope this year. It's our Christmas emphasis that is giving you some specific things that you can do to help different people in the community through our share partners, as well as our Christmas Eve offering, like we've been doing for years now, goes to help people throughout Christmas and beyond Christmas, just to meet needs of hurting people throughout the Chippewa Valley. The third thing I want to just challenge you to do is to monitor your focus. If you are still focused on this election, if you are still focused on the negative, if you keep reading every scary report about COVID, please stop that. Read just enough to know what's going on, then turn it off. Understand, I've said this so many times in the last 6 months, the people who are bringing you your news right now have a vested interest in you being afraid. Because if you're afraid, you'll keep clicking, you'll keep reading, you'll keep following. And if you are focused on angry things, you'll become angry. If you're focused on frightening things, you'll become frightened. If you're focused on things of the world, you will become like the world. So monitor your focus. What that means is that you need to be a person who focuses on the right things. I'm going to say more about that in just a minute. Third thing I want to challenge you to do is turn something positive. Take an opportunity. If there's a project you've been waiting to do, I'm going to renovate my garage. I'm going to fix something up. I'm going to do something in my backyard with the kids. I'm going to learn how to snowshoe or cross-country skiing. This is the year to take an opportunity to do something positive, to give yourself something to focus on. I want to challenge you with this. Embrace God. This is a season. It'll be very easy to put God on the shelf. Start checking out a worship. Not doing midweek worship anymore. And I'm just not going to do the Zoom call. I'm just going to put it on a shelf. Don't do that. We've got several resources that we're preparing for you this Christmas. Continue to use the prayer podcast. Some of you have found great help through those. The Christmas series is called Revival, where we're celebrating that Jesus arrived in the past. We're remembering that Jesus is near in the present, and we're anticipating that Jesus will return in the future. We have prepared, and we have some Advent devotionals that if you were during Advent, which starts next Sunday, by the way, next Sunday is Advent, you would get one of these Advent devotionals. You can either pick them up here if you're here, or better, you can actually go to the website. We're going to have them online where you can download them. If you were to use those and start every day with that, then you could center yourself. You could start building a more stable life, a life that has more structure to it. It would calm you down. It would speak to you. And the Word of God, there's a reading plan. The truth of God would come in your heart. Reframe your day. Reframe your mind. You need to embrace God. There are things in the devotion that give you ideas for family activities through Advent. There are 4 weeks of small group studies that you and your group could do through Zoom or through a properly socially distanced gathering in some way, maybe around a campfire or in just some way that's safe. There are all kinds of tools for you. I also want to encourage you this Christmas to start planning Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve, we are going to have some in-person opportunities, very safe, very spread out. But the big thing is we're going to be doing live streaming this Christmas. So it's not only going to be a pre-recorded message that's going to be, you know, part of live chat. It's going to be live chat, or if you don't want to use live chat, you don't have to. But it's going to be a live, real-time, 5 opportunities for you to see on Christmas Eve. Okay, everybody at my house, we're going to sit around the TV, and we're going to watch and participate, and more than watch, we're going to participate in the Jacob's Well worship service. We are going to make it very powerful, very interactive. It's going to be a great opportunity. So start planning that as part of your Christmas Eve celebration. Examine the patterns of your life. Are they moving away from God? Are they moving to God? These are some tools that we're going to give you to start taking steps towards God, which is what this place is all about. The last thing is, don't deflect surprise. And what do I mean by that? Don't be surprised if God does some cool things in the midst of this. We are all aware of the hard things and the difficult things, and some of them are very, very hard. But don't be surprised if God brings a relationship back in your life, or brings you healing, or brings a spiritual renewal, or gives you some breath in your life to do some good things. It's very easy to focus on the negative right now, but God is a God of hope. Don't be surprised if he brings you some hope. And here's the thing. If you're at a place where you're saying, you know what? God is bringing some joy and some happiness in my life right now, even in the midst of this craziness, it's okay to be happy. It's okay to be blessed by God in the midst of all that is going on. And so we have a great God. So what do I mean by next steps? Everything I just said. Everything I just said, take the time to be the church this summer, an amazing church, this winter, an amazing church, just like the church at Antioch. Let me pray. Father God, this church inspires us. Father, the church in East Asia inspires us. People like the Hunts inspire us. Father God, we want to be your church. And help us remember it's worth staying connected. It's worth making worship a priority every week. It's worth it making devotionals part of our life every week. It's worth reaching out to our friends and family. It's worth caring for the vulnerable. It's worth it to be the church. And Father God, I would just pray for the power of your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name for you to stir up resolve in every person who's hearing my voice, every person, whether it be on the weekend or throughout the week, and for them to be resolved to say, you know what, I'm not just going to get caught up in the drift of the anxiety and what's going on. I'm going to start doing some positive things in my life to take steps to know and become like Christ. We do take a minute to pray again in Jesus' name that the end of this pandemic would come by the blood of Christ, that this disease and the sickness would be taken away from our culture. Father God, we pray for all those who are going through difficult time. We pray for the sick, for those family members who know there are people they love who are sick who cannot be with them. Father God, we pray for those in the healthcare community. Strengthen them, give them courage, let them know that we are loving them and we are supporting them, that we are with them. Help teachers and business leaders and government leaders to know that you are with them. Father God, we need you. We pray for this family mentioned by the Hunts, this family that is separated during this time of pregnancy. We pray, Father God, that you would just bring favor with the authorities, that this father could be free and this family could be reunited, and you would just show yourself strong. You have freed people in prison in the book of Acts. Do it again now in this situation. Father God, we need you. We love you. Help us be this church in this place, in this time, the continuation of the book of Acts, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.